Paul Teller with us, and Rabbi Yaakov Menken. Great to have you guys on. Israel launching an attack in Iran on Friday, but it didn't really accomplish anything. Reports I have say that the Israeli offensive was, I don't know what the word is, unprepared for the level of Iranian defense that they found. A lot of the jets turning back because they underestimated the Iranian defense apparatus. Paul, you would know better on this than anybody. You want to comment on that? What happened?
Well, first of all, as always, thanks for having me. Really, really appreciate it. You know, it's interesting. Right? Similar to you, it sounds like we're getting mixed reports, right? There's some, I think the initial reports were disappointing, right? Like, really? That's all Israel did? It didn't take out the regime, didn't hit nuclear sites, didn't hit energy sites, that kind of thing. I don't know, more and more that's coming out, it's now, I'm starting to feel a little better about it, right? Like, some of the reports now are saying that, well, wait a minute, they did take out Iran's, a significant part of Iran's missile building capability, some of its air defense systems, things along those lines, which, you know, that's not nothing, obviously. Obviously, I think maybe all of us, if we were in control, would have preferred more robust action. But it's sounding better the more that I hear about it. So I think as details come out, we're gonna as the pro-Israel community, I think, will feel better than we initially thought.
Rabbi Yaakov Menken with us. Rabbi, I get what Paul's saying, but it just didn't really seem like this big offensive by the IDF really accomplished anything.
It was actually, the way I've been understanding it and reading it, it was actually very strategic. If you look at the air defenses that they eliminated, not only is it clear that the Israelis were not stunned by the amount of air defenses, they knew exactly where they were, and they blew them up. And so now a lot of the Iranian core infrastructure, things that they very much wish to protect, are completely exposed because the Israelis had total control of the air. Imagine this, they're in a foreign country how many miles away from Israel? And the air power of the Israelis was so markedly superior, it was like the Iranians had nothing to offer. So if the Iranians were to turn around, which they're already threatening to do, of course, and attack Israel again, they're going to, the point is, the Israelis have said, this had better stop here because it's going to be very, very bad for you on the next round. I mean, at this point, they didn't incur a lot of civilian casualties. They hit military installations. Things could get a lot worse if the Iranians don't stop attacking. That's the whole point of a defensive army, a defensive attitude. By the way, notice that the UN Security Council is now meeting to talk about Israel attacking Iran. Not the fact that Iran has now twice attacked Israel completely unprovoked. They only have a problem with Israeli self-defense because it involves Jews.
Unbelievable. Paul, tell me, where are we going with, I mean, just like, where are we going with this? There's no peace in sight. Trump wins. What does he do?
Well, and that's the end. By the way, you completely agree with everything Rabbi said, and I think what we would both agree on as well is that there is also a psychological effect here as well. And obviously, you know, that doesn't necessarily win wars, but you know, it's at least part of it, right? Where it's created that effect in certainly in Tehran, but around the world of, oh my gosh, Israel is just going to continue kind of sending missiles from afar. They're going to send men and women in jets into Israeli airspace for sustained attacks. I mean, that does send a message. That's exactly what the rabbi was saying of that. You know, you want to hit us again? Okay, this is what we gave you when just a few missiles made it through our air defense systems. You want to do anything worse than that? Well, then you'll feel even worse than that. So, you know, so there is a little bit of that psychological impact. But I agree with you. I mean, ultimately, you know, we've called for the only way to really end this is Iranian surrender and their proxies to surrender. And that really means, you know, regime change. And I know a lot of folks, for some reason, seem scared to talk about that. But, you know, how we can ever have peace with Israel or anywhere in the world in that region with the current leaders still in Iran, I just don't see it.
Let's get to the Michigan rally. last weekend before MAGA Square Garden, obviously. And Rabbi, I want to start with you. Trump getting the support of a number of Muslim leaders at that rally. Yep. What's that about?
Sadly, a certain amount of it is because they're now convinced that Kamala is backing Israel as if it's going to be more than Trump will. So that crazy component of it. But a lot of them are recognizing, those who are actually pro-peace, I mean, you look at what Trump accomplished with the Abraham Accords. Has that not been better for the UAE, for Bahrain, etc.? If Saudi Arabia had entered, which Trump, I quite credibly, is asserting they were extremely likely to do had Trump won re-election in 2020, if that had happened, the entire map of the Middle East would be very different. And by the way, I don't think Hamas would have dared do what they did in October of 2023. Instead, we've gone in a different direction. Do you know that this past Shabbat, a Jew on the way to synagogue was shot by terrorists shouting Allahu Akbar? And that happened in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
Where is the news coverage of that? Why is that not being treated like Tree of Life Synagogue in Philadelphia? Oh, because it wasn't a white supremacist. Oh, because it can't be blamed on Donald Trump. That's offensive. That is how you make life for Jews unsafe in America. Ignore the news if it's coming from some favored class. A guy yelling, Allahu Akbar, we're not allowed to point out that radical Islamic terror is a thing. In fact, I think Kamala is on record as saying you shouldn't call them radical Islamic terrorists. That's exactly what they are. They do it in the name of their theology. You're only allowed to demonize Christianity and Judaism in America. You're only allowed to say nice things about Muslim terrorists. Is that the new narrative?
Paul?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's just horrifying. I love your point, Rabbi, just of, you know, that's what makes, you know, we Jews feel unsafe, right? I mean, it's to know that these things can happen, and for the most part, the world shrugs, right? I mean, obviously, even some people who hear about it be like, oh, isn't that terrible? And one breath later, you're back to something else. You know, and that's something that I do think we have a new administration, Trump, Vance, and the allies coming back in. That is going to change. You're going to see a material change in open support for Jews, for open criticism of anti-Semitism, folks who don't support Jews. And so that's something I think that the Jewish community is starting to wake up to, and why more are going to be switching parties, at least in their voting habits, if not in their actual registration this year.
Where are Biden and Harris right now? Why nobody's talking about visiting Chicago? Nobody's talking about making Jews feel safer. The cops are all over this. The Chicago police absolutely understand what's going on here. They're the ones pointing out the guy was yelling Allahu Akbar. The guy was obvious that the victim was obviously Orthodox, you know, wearing a yarmulke, walking to synagogue. It was obvious who he was. That's why he was targeted. A Jew was targeted as a Jew for a terror attack in Chicago, Illinois. Stop pretending this is about the Middle East. This is about Jew hatred in America, which everybody knows from history, never stops with the Jews. Christians are in danger. People of decency are in danger. Those who value human rights are in danger. If you pretend this is a Jewish problem, America is lost.
Paul,
great point.
Are we going to get the biggest percentage, we meaning Trump, is Trump going to get the biggest percentage of the Jewish vote a Republican's ever had in modern times?
Oh, gosh. I mean, and we talked about this last week, too. I sure hope so, because anecdotally, you know, I'm hearing from people just in my life, my circles, who never voted Republican before, you know, Jewish folks, and they are this year, or already have. Some of them said, I've already banked my early vote, did it for Trump, did it for the Republican Senator, Republican House candidate. You know,
Paul, you're so right.
Do I wish it was 95%? Yes, but what was that, Rabbi? I'm sorry.
It is 95% in the traditional Orthodox. The guys who actually know which end is north and talk about anti-Semitism. If you believe that your causes are saving democracy and abortion, you vote for Kamala. If you actually believe that concern for Israel and anti-Semitism should be on the top of a Jew's priority list, you vote for Trump. It's very clear in the surveys. The furious gaslighting from the Jewish Democrat Council of America, they're trying to pretend that Dershowitz contemplating voting for Trump and Shabbos Kestenbaum endorsing, this is a guy who is a Bernie guy, and he's endorsing Trump, and Bill Ackman. This is a real demographic. Things are happening. People got awakened by October 7th. And in a lot of very positive ways. Now the question is, Americans, again, have to prioritize what's going on.
Rabbi, can Hogan win Maryland?
Yes, he can pull it. He can pull it out. The question is, will he? I mean, he is a much better candidate than also Brooks. But the numbers don't look good right now. We're going to tell you, it's Maryland, the Democratic People's Republic of Maryland.
But Hogan's won there
Democrat
twice.
Democrat now because I live
Hogan's
in the Democratic People's Republic.
If Hogan wins,
if
Hogan wins Maryland, we're going to win 9 seats.
Yeah,
can you imagine that?
That'd be one heck of a night.
We're going to win 9 seats. We need Hogan to win. I think that's the longest of the long shots looking at the polls, but I wouldn't count him out. And then Lake, who's down, running 10 behind Trump for some reason. Horrible campaign. But if Trump wins, our numbers say if Trump wins Arizona by 5, Lake wins, which would be number 8, because I think he's going to win 6 or 7 seats. We could win 9 seats. All right, guys, I got to roll. Paul Teller, Rabbi Yaakov Macon, you know where to reach him.